Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Ayin Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper part of Daf Ayin Beis, the second line from the top, the Gemara offers a quote from the Mishnah, Kotzrin mitnei hanetios, umitnei beis ovel, umitnei beis hamedrash. The Mishnah was discussing certain allowances for the harvesting of grains before the bringing of the Omer. Basically, the Omer is the matir, is the unit, or the element that allows not only the partaking, the eating, consumption of the new grains, but also the harvesting of new grains. There are exceptions. The question is, if the prohibition of harvesting new grains before the bringing of the Omer is a Torah ordinance, then how is it that we have an allowance for these harvestings before the Omer? The Mishnah had mentioned the harvesting because of the Netios, because of the Ovel, or because of the Beis Medrash. The issue of Netios, we had mentioned that it's related to a problem concerning kilayim. In order to prevent kilayim, so the grains are harvested so that it doesn't grow in the midst of trees, particularly vines. Beis Ovel is the harvesting in order to enable the funeral procedure or ritual to take place in the presence of the public. And the Beis Medrash is in order to enable there to be room for people to sit and learn. So a section of the field would be harvested, cleared away, to make room for these things, for the Avel and the Beis Medrash. So what is the basis of such an allowance? Even though the Omer has not been brought yet, we are allowing a harvesting. My Taimah, the Gemara answers, Kitzir Chem, Omer Achmona. The Pasuk says, Reishis Kitzir Chem. Kitzir Chem means harvesting for your personal purposes. V'lo Kitzir Mitzvah. The prohibition does not extend to where the harvesting is for the purpose of a mitzvah. And the above examples are a harvesting with a mitzvah performance in mind. V'lo Yase Krichois Avol Manicham Tzvosim. We said that when we have these allowances, they're not to be tied up as bundles, but rather, after the harvested, the grains are left in piles. My taimo, why is there a limitation with regard to how much you are allowed to do with regard to the grains? Answer, the kamod efshur lo tarchinon. Whatever can be done or not done by way of minimizing efforts and expenditure of energy with regard to pre-Omer harvesting, we strive to minimize. Mitzvah Omer lohavi min hakoma. The Mishnah tells us that the preferred way of performing the Omer is by harvesting standing grains. However, if one did not find standing grains, but rather already cut ones, they nevertheless can be used. We have in our outside margin a Nosei Mivneh heading in the Shas Ozer, which is the cornerstone of the Gemara marking system. We feature topic headings and structural notes. Sometimes we combine them into one note, as is the case over here. You see, the triangle is featured with a colored in tip. This will highlight the word lefi, and that's really a matter of convenience, because this word is repeating itself in this source. The Tanaic source that we're about to see in the Gemara, you can see already, there's a framed section. The framed section represents Tanaic material. So we've noted in our introduction, Mekoros Be'inyan Ktsiras Ha'omer, sources within the realm of the harvesting of the Omer, the Afalpi She'eno Osehu Betsuras L'chadchila Mikol Mokum Kosher. We will learn that even though one does not do it in the desired, preferable way, it nevertheless can be acceptable. So the Brisa opens up with a pasuk from Vayikra Beis, pasuk Yudalid. We've written the pasuk on the inside margin. Let us read the pasuk first. Ve'im takriv minchas bikurim l'ashem oviv kolui bo'esh geres karmel takriv es minchas bikurecha. You'll notice at the beginning of the pasuk it says ve'im takriv minchas bikurim, and then at the end of the pasuk it says takriv es minchas bikurecha, a seeming repetition. Now we turn to the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, ve'im takriv minchas bikurim. Ma Talmud Lomar, what's the purpose of this opening phrase? And the basis of this, Rashi explains, is that at the end of the pasuk it mentions the offering of your minchas bikurim. So the Gemara, the Brisa answers, Lefi shemitzvas omer lahovi min akoma. The preferable way of performing omer is bringing it from cuts, from grains that were cut while you found them in a standing position. Minayin, from where do I know shimlo motzim in akoma, that if you did not find any standing grains, growing grains attached to the ground, all you were able to find were already harvested grains. Yovi min haomrim, bring those stalks. Talmud lomar takriv, we know that from the fact that we have this repetition in the pasuk, the word takriv. Dover acher, takriv, another drosha regarding takriv. Lefi she mitzvah lahavi min halach. The preferable way of performing omer is to bring from fresh grains. U'minayin shem lo motzo min halach yovi min yovesh. And from where do I know that if you don't find fresh grains, you can bring dried ones as well? Talmud lomar, takriv. Dover acher, another drosha from the same expression. Takriv. Lefi she mitzvaso liktor balayla. The preferable way is to harvest on the night before of the 16th of Nisan, the night before the daytime. Minayin shin mitzvah b'yom kosher. From where do I know that if you did the harvesting during the daytime hours, it's acceptable? The doiche es haShabbos, and that the harvesting of the omer is capable of superseding, of overruling Shabbos. Talmud lomar takriv. And here a bit of a summary: takriv kol shehu. Koshu meaning even from Olimrim. Takriv mikomakom, even from grains that are far from Yerushalayim. Takriv afilu b'Shabbos, and it probably can be assumed that when it says even far from Yerushalayim, what we are saying is even if they're dry, because by the time you bring them from a distant location to the Beis HaMikdash, they will have dried out. Takriv v'afilu b'Shabbos. This is the idea of the Omer cutting, the Omer harvesting, overruling Shabbos. Takriv v'afilu b'tuma. Even if it is done in a state of tuma, which when it comes to korbonos generally renders them unfit, but in the case of the Omer, the tuma does not prevent it from being brought. Niktzar bayom kosher. The Mishnah mentioned that if it's harvested by day, it is kosher. It's acceptable. The Mishnah also mentions v'doiche es haShabbos, that it overrules Shabbos. The fact that we're mentioning that point now will be relevant later in the Gemara. Before we go on in the Gemara, let's look at our Nosei, our topic heading, by way of introduction. In the outside margin, you'll notice under the Nosei heading, we've written Yishuv Stira, a resolution of what seems to be a contradiction bein mishnah senu, between our mishnah that says shiksirus ha'omer b'yoyim afopi de'eno k'mitzvasa kosher, even though it's not the preferred way, or we could say afopi de'eno lichatchila, it's kosher. Lebraisa, the stira is from a Tanaic source. That's Shebo Kotoni the Pasul. And the Gemara will eventually say that Ha de Kotoni Kosher, that's according to Rebbe, and the one that says that one that's post sale is according to Rebbe Lozer of Rebbe Shimon. So the Gemara raises a question. The Ha Tnan, but we have a Tanaic source that says Kol Halaylo Kosher Litzirsa Omer, the nighttime is kosher for the harvesting of the Omer, Ulahaktir Chalovim VeEvorim, and for the offering of the innards of sacrifices that were offered during the day. Ze Haklal Dovar Shemitzvaso Bayom Kosher Kol Hayom, commandments that one is to fulfill during the daytime is appropriately fulfilled all day, during the daytime hours. Dover she mitzvosu balayla, kosher kol alayla. Something who is supposed, that which is supposed to be fulfilled at night, it's acceptable to fulfill it throughout the whole night. Kotoni layla dum yadiyom. In this source, there's a parallel between the nighttime and the daytime. Ma diyom balayla lo, just like daytime mitzvahs, if one were to do them at night, they would be unacceptable. We can include in this things like the slaughtering of sacrifices. There are psukim that indicate that they are supposed to be done during the day, and if they are slaughtered at night, they are unacceptable. Af delaylo bayom namilo, so too those things that are supposed to be done by night at nighttime, if done by day, would also be unacceptable. And in this source, we see that the ktsiras haomer is one of those things that's associated with the night. You can, as we look in the source itself, you can see we've dashed underline that fact. If that be the case, we have this Tanaic source which stands in contrast or in contradiction to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said Imnik Tzabayom Kosher, and in this source it says that Ksiras HaOmer is a nighttime activity to the exclusion of the day. Omar Rabo Loikashia, Rabo says there is no contradiction. Ha Rebbe V'ha Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon. The source, our Mishnah, says that Niksar Bayom is kosher, that will be according to Rebbe. The one that says that Niksar Bayom is apostle, that will be according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. Disanya, we have a source in which Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon appear. We've circled their names. The second name that you see circled is Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. And at the end of the source, it says, "Shekol ha'omer sheniktzar shaloi kemitzvaso pasul." If the omer is done in the non-proper way, it's unacceptable. That is going to be, that's Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, who parallels the source that was quoted above, saying that if the ksiras omer would be done by day, it would be pasul. Our Mishnah, on the other hand, that said Niksar Biyom is kosher, that will be according to Rebbe, who disagrees with Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon in this source. So we begin the source, the Sanya, Hoya Oimeir Umakriv Minchas Omer V'Nitmeis. The Minchas Omer, the Omer offering was being offered, and it became Tomei. Im Yesh Acheres, if there is a replacement Omer, there's another one, Omer lo hove acheres tachteha. So he instructs that bring a replacement one. Vim lav, if there is no replacement one, Omer lo hove pikeh ushtok. We tell him, the one processing the korban, so you be wise and keep quiet. Don't say anything about the fact that it became tome. That's divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon Omer, benkach u benkach, Omer lo hove pikeh ushtok. either way, whether there is a replacement one or not, we say, be wise and keep silent. Shekol ha'omer shenikzar shaloi kimitzvaso, puzzle. Any omer that's harvested improperly is puzzle. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Shenikzar shaloi kimitzvaso, puzzle. U'mitzvas k'sir b'layla v'lo b'yom. And in the case that we found it to become puzzle, and they're in the middle of offering it, it would necessitate a daytime harvesting. Well, that wouldn't help. Therefore, you see, Shitas Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is that if it's done by day, the harvesting is done by day, it would just be puzzle. Rebbe is Cholek, and we saw him say that if you can find a replacement Omer, go ahead and get it. That would include harvesting it and bringing it as a mincha. Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon says, since you're in the middle of the day, it won't be acceptable. We have a long point that follows, and on the outside margin, we have under our Nosei Mivne heading, the double underline that you'll see in the next few lines, you'll see two of them. They emphasize the expressions B'shitas Rabbi Kiva and B'shitas Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara will deal with Shitas Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who Shiluv Shel Shitas Rabbi Akiva of Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara will point out that the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who says that Niktzar Bayom is Posel, is a function of combining the Shitos of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, as will be explained by the Gemara. In order to accomplish this presentation, the Gemara will embark on a long point. We've indicated this with the Nun that you see encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with a descending vertical dashed line. All of the lines opposite this vertical dashed line in the Gemara develop this point. Turning to the Gemara, Omar Rabba Barchan Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, B'shitas Rabbi Akiva Rabbo Shel Aviv, Omra. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon developed his idea based on Rabbi Akiva, who was the Rebbe of Rabbi Elazar's father, namely Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Akiva had five outstanding Talmidim. Amongst them was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochoi. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochoi in turn had a son, Rabbi Elazar. Disnan, the source says, Klal Omer Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva states a principle, Kol Melacha She'efshir Lo La'asos Me'erev Shabbos. Any activity that could have been done Erev Shabbos, Eino Doiche Es Shabbos. So such a thing will not supersede Shabbos. Now the context in which Rabbi Akiva's halacha is in the context of Bris Milah. The circumcision of a child is able to be done on Shabbos, even though cutting flesh and having blood flow from it is itself a Shabbos violation. Nevertheless, the Torah says, "Ubayom Hashmini Mo Basar Loso." Ubayom Hashmini, we know even Shabbos. So the basic Mila itself can be done on Shabbos. But activities that are of a preparatory nature leading up to the Mila, like getting the knife, fashioning the knife, or whatever, those things could have been done Erev Shabbos. Therefore, they cannot be done on Shabbos. Therefore, according to Rabbi Kiva, if they don't have the knife at the location of the Mila, they are not allowed to bring the knife through the public thoroughfare into a private domain. And that falls under this rule. Anything that could have been done Erev Shabbos is not Doche Shabbos. On the other hand, something that could not have been done Erev Shabbos, something that would have been puzzle if done Erev Shabbos, is Doche Shabbos. So that's one point to bear in mind. V'savar lach Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon also subscribes to Rabbi Shmuel, the Omar, Ktsiras Omer Mitzvah, that there is an actual commandment in the act of harvesting or of cutting the sheaves for the Omer, not just bringing the meal offering in the Beis HaMikdash, but the actual cutting of the grains is a mitzvah. Disnan, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, based on the pasuk in the Torah that says "Bechorish ubekotzir tishbois." There is a machlokis in how to darshan this pasuk. Some learn this pasuk in the context of the Shemitah year. Rabbi Shmuel, on the other hand, takes this pasuk to refer to Shabbos. The word tishbos is associated with Shabbos. So Rabbi Shmuel says, "Ma chorish rishus, av kotzir rishus." The Torah that is commanding one not to engage in plowing and in harvesting. The harvesting referred to is a harvesting of a personal or of an optional nature. Just like Harisha is optional, namely, we don't find any place in the Torah where there is a commandment to plow. So just like plowing is optional, so too, and that is not allowed to be done on Shabbos, that's tishbos, one shall cease from doing that on Shabbos, so too, tzira, that's of an optional nature, one shall desist from performing on Shabbos. Yotza, to the exclusion of tzir ha'oimer, shehi mitzvah. The Torah does not proscribe against doing ketziras that are of a mitzvah nature. And therefore, ketziras ha'omer can be done on Shabbos. It is done on Shabbos and it's doche Shabbos. Ve'i salka daitoch niktzar shaloi kemitzvaso kosher. If one were to think that improper harvesting, timing-wise, would be acceptable, amai dochi Shabbos, then why should Ktziras HaOmer ever be doche Shabbos? Why should it supersede Shabbos? Niktzirei me'erev Shabbos, you would be able to do the harvesting on Friday, on Erev Shabbos, even though that's not the preferable time, because the Erev Shabbos is not the 16th of Nisan. But if you're saying that Niksar Shaloi Kimitzvaso is nevertheless kosher, it would fall under the category of things that could have been done Erev Shabbos. Elo, Midedochi Shabbos, from the fact that we see that it's Doche Shabbos, that the harvesting is Doche Shabbos, Shma mino niksir shalom kemitzvaso posel. It must be that the harvesting at the wrong time would actually render it unfit, would be disqualified. So from combining the shitas of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva telling us the principle that if it could have been done Erev Shabbos, it's not Doche Shabbos, and Rabbi Shmuel tells us that Ketziras HaOmer is Doche Shabbos, the fact that it's Doche Shabbos, and I also hold by Rabbi Akiva's principle, shows me that there is no other option of doing the Ketziras HaOmer. In simple terms, a Ketziras HaOmer shelo kemitzvaso will be posel. And that's the basis of Shitas Rebbe Elozer, Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara now focuses on Shitas Rebbe. In fact, from this point on till the end of the perek, the focal point of the discussion will be Shitas Rebbe. So we've noted in our topic heading in the outside margin, under the nosei, Diyun b'Shitas Rebbe, a discussion within Shitas Rebbe. The Gemara here opens with a question. We've indicated this with a long question marking. As far as Rebbe is concerned, Rebbe says that Niktzar b'yom is kosher. We saw that in the source where we had circled Rebbe's name above, where if they were offering the Omer, and the offering of the Omer takes place by day, if something went wrong and they have an option of getting another one, go ahead and get it, including harvesting it by day and bring it. So Rebbe holds that the Omer harvested shelo kemitzvaso is kosher. The Gemara will raise a question. Is it not so that Rebbe was himself a student of Rebbe Shimon, who in turn was a student of Rebbe Akiva? Couldn't we assume that Rebbe was aware and, in fact, would subscribe to teachings that he got from his Rebbe, Rebbe Shimon, who in turn got it from Rebbe Kiva. And if that be the case, we saw the klal of Rebbe Kiva, something that could have been done the day before. And according to Rebbe, the Omer, even if it's done improperly, is still kosher. So it would fall under the category of things that could have been done the day before. And as such, then it should not be Doche Shabbos. And yet in the Mishnah, which we said was according to Rebbe Kiva, it says Doche Esa Shabbos. The question then is, why should that be? Couldn't you do it a day early? The Gemara will point out that Rebbe was a Talmud of Reb Shimon and bring a source for that information. But the basic question is a very short question, and we read it now, the Rebbe Lav Talmidei de Rebbe Shimon Hu. And at this point, you have to explain everything we said before. That if it's so that Rebbe is a Talmud of Rebbe Shimon, who in turn was a Talmud of Rebbe Kiva, why is it that if you, Rebbe, hold that Nigzar Shalokim Mitzvosu is kosher, why is it then that it's Doche Shabbos? You could have done it on Friday. So here, the Gemara gives the background to the fact that Rebbe was a Talmud of Rebbe Shimon. We see from the following source, Omar Rebbe, Kishoyinu Lemedim Torah Eitzel Rebbe Shimon B'Tekoa. And we've dashed underlined the key point for our purposes is Rebbe's name and his telling us that when we were learning by Rebbe Shimon in the town of Tekoa. And the rest of this is a description of what they did for Rebbe Shimon on Shabbos, but it's fairly irrelevant to the heart of our discussion. Rebbe tells us, Hoyinu Malin Loi Shemen Valontis, we would bring oil and a towel, and this is in anticipation of his bathing or immersing himself on Shabbos. So there's an issue of carrying from one domain to the other. There was a, because of Shitas Rebbe Shimon, the following is allowed. Shitas Rebbe Shimon is that all kinds of different types of private domains, even though structurally they are different, but if they connect with one another, they're viewed as one long private domain, and therefore there would be no problem of transfer from one Rishus to another, from one domain to another. And Rebbe tells us that when we were there by Rebbe Shimon and we were serving him, Hoyinu Malin Loi Shemen Valantis Mechotzer Legag, from a courtyard to the roof, Umegag Lekarpif, from the roof to an enclosed area, Umekarpif Lekarpif, and from Lekarpif Acher, from one enclosed area to another, and all of these formed a chain of areas, Ad She'onu Magim Lemayon Shonu Rochen Sebo, until we got to the spring that we used to immerse in. The point is that Rebbe was a Talmud of Rebbe Shimon, and Rebbe Shimon was in turn a Talmud of Rebbe Akiva. And Rebbe Akiva told us that if you could have done it Erev Shabbos, then it's not going to be Doche Shabbos. So if, as Rebbe says, Nigzar Shalom Mitzvosu is kosher, it would fall under the category of things that could have been done early. And it still would have been acceptable. So why does the Mishnah teach that it's Doche Shabbos? Answer, Sovar lo ki idoch Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe holds by another teaching of Rebbe Shimon. And this other teaching opens up a new discussion called, and we have this in under our title, the Arnose, Chavivo Mitzvah B'Shaita, V'Doche Shabbos. That when you have an opportunity to perform a mitzvah at its preordained time, at its fixed time, that is of such importance that it supersedes Shabbos. That even though one may have had other options, but since we're talking about the official time for performing the mitzvah, the lechatchila time, that is enough reason to allow the violation or the superseding of Shabbos. So Rebbe holds like that approach. The Sanya. Omer Rabbi Shimon, Bo Re Kamo Chavivo Mitzvah B'Shaita. Come and see, says Rabbi Shimon, how desirable a mitzvah at its right time is. Sharei hekter chalav mevorim k'shem kol ha'layla. The burning of the innards of sacrifices offered on a given day can be done all night. Once again, the burning of the innards of any given sacrifice is an activity that can take place throughout the night, even though general offering of sacrifices, the procedures leading to the offering of a sacrifice must be done during the day. This we'll call it a residual activity. After the sacrifice was already offered, there is an expectation that the innards are burnt on the Mizbeach. That can take place throughout the night. V'lo hoyo mamtin lohem ad shetechshach. Focusing on a Shabbos sacrifice, a korban offered on Shabbos. The innards could be done Motzoi Shabbos on Saturday night, when Shabbos is already gone, is finished. Nevertheless, the Shabbos korbanos, the innards of the Shabbos korbanos, they would burn on Shabbos day itself, because that's the preferable time to do it. The nighttime is an extension that one has, but the preferable time to burn the innards is on the day that the korban itself is offered. What do we see from this? We see that we will overrule Shabbos because of Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. Well, and included in that would be the harvesting of the Omer on the proper day, on the 16th of Nisan. And therefore, if the 16th of Nisan comes out on Shabbos, even though if it were done on Friday, it still would have been kosher, but since Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita is a factor, one can do that even on Shabbos. The Gemara raises a question. This question lasts a few lines. We have an indication of it being a long question, a four-line question. We just mentioned Shitas Rabbi Shimon as holding Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, and having learned that from Hekter Chalav Mevorim of sacrifices that were offered on Shabbos day itself, the innards, even though they could be offered Saturday night, nevertheless, they didn't hesitate from offering them, from burning them on the Mizbeach on Shabbos day itself. To repeat, that was a teaching of Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara now asks, with a tone of wonderment, but the question will be focused on Rebbe. The Gemara asks, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, lo shmi alei. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who was the son of Rabbi Shimon, did he not hear of the concept of Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita? That's a teaching of his own father. Could he not have actually held that an Omer done Shelo Kimitzvaso would be kosher? And if you'll ask about how is it that he says it's Doiche Shabbos, that's because of Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon himself could have held that Niksar Bayom is kosher. And as far as being Doche Shabbos, no problem. There still is this Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. Yet he did not learn that way. He did not learn from Hekter Chalavim Veivorim the concept of Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita in order to apply it to the harvesting of the Omer. Elo Shiny Hasam. There by Hekter Chalavim Veivorim, he will agree, Rabbi Elazar Shimon will agree with what his father teaches there on the spot regarding Hekter Chalavim Veivorim. Why is the burning of those innards Doche Shabbos? Sherei Dochso Shchitha Es HaShabbos. The preoccupation with the innards is simply the extension of the slaughtering of the korban. The slaughtering of the korban was already Doche Shabbos. So there's already an opening, so to speak, with regard to Shabbos that started at the shchit, at the point of the slaughtering. Slaughtering, of course, done outside the Beis HaMikdash would be a stark violation of Shabbos.
Yet in the Beis HaMikdash, we know that for Shabbos Korbanos, one is allowed to do it. So as far as the burning of the innards, the door was already opened for their violating Shabbos by virtue of the fact that Shechita had already been done, and that already overruled Shabbos. As opposed to the issue of the Katsiras HaOmer, it's true that the offering of the Omer itself is Docha Shabbos, but that hasn't taken place yet. We're at an earlier stage. So to suggest that the basis of allowing Tziras HaOmer based on Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita and learn that from Hekter Chalom Evorim, they're not parallel. The Hekter Chalom Evorim are a situation where Shabbos was already Nidche for them at the point of Shechita. That's different than the case of the Ktsira, the harvesting of the sheaves. There wasn't some earlier stage that concerns the Omer that we were already Doche Shabbos. So the Kumara goes on, Ula Rebbe, Hachinami, Dochscha Shechita Es HaShabbos. How can Rebbe apply Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita to legitimatize harvesting of the Omer on Shabbos when there is this this prominent difference? In the case of the Hekter Chalom Evorim, Shabbos was already Nidche at the point of Shechita of the Korban. I can't learn from that to allow Ktsiras HaOmer to be Doche Shabbos based on Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. Ela Kosova Rebbe Ktsiras HaOmer Loi Dachyo Shabbos. It's true that we saw in the Mishnah that the Omer is Doche Shabbos. However, Rebbe holds that the harvesting of the Omer is not Doche Shabbos. At this point, the Gemara is going to hammer away with questions and answers at what we just said. And that's why in our markings we dashed underline Kosova Rebbe Ktsiras HaOmer Lo Dachyo Shabbos, so as to keep our eye on this line as we go on. The Nosei Mivneh heading that accompanies this piece of Gemara features a triangle, and in parentheses we call it a Ma'akav. Ma'akav is the use of the geometric forms to help follow the give and take of the Gemara. If you look back in the Gemara momentarily, you'll notice that there is a flurry of triangles. However, they flip-flop. Sometimes the point is up, and sometimes the point is facing down. The explanation on the outside margin is, with the point facing up, kushios al tirutz ha-Gemara. These will be questions on what the Gemara had answered, Sherebi Kosovar Diktiras HaOmer Einoi Doiche Shabbos. Okay, these will be the triangles with the point facing up represent questions on the thesis that Rebbe holds that Ktsiras HaOmer is not Doche Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, Veloi, and it's not Doche V'hotnan. The source says V'chachomim Omrim Echad Shabbos V'echad Chol Mishalosh Hoya Ba. This is a Mishnah from quite a few Dapim ago, where what the Chachomim say, whether it's Shabbos or a weekday, the Omer was brought from an original three Sa'ah of Sa'orim. And so you see Shabbos mentioned, and you see them fetching the three saw on Shabbos. So we see that the harvesting of the grains takes place on Shabbos. Well, the Gemara says that's Delo Kerebi. It's a source, and we respect the source, but it's not something that is in conformity to Rebbe. Question. V'chachomim omrim. These questions are from Tanaic sources. You can see frames around them. The triangle indicates that it's brought in as a question. It's worth noting that Rashi himself is very sensitive to the structure of the Gemara and points out under Dibur Maschil
He says, "Kol Hanoch." All of these sources, Maisi Mishum Pircha, brought in because of the question, or in order to raise a question. The Gemara goes on. We look at our next triangle. Vachachomim Oimrim Echad Shabbos Chachol B'Sholosh. B'shlosha, b'sholosh kupos, u'b'sholosh maglois. The Mishnah describes it was part of a machlokas that the Chachamim hold that whether it's Shabbos or a weekday, it's going to be harvested with three people, and there are three boxes and three sickles. Well, we're talking about a harvesting taking place on Shabbos. Do we not see that Rebbe would hold that the Ksira is Doche Shabbos? The Gemara answers, well, this source that you just quoted was Delo Kerebi, is not in conformity with Rebbe. Question. U'b'Shabbos Yoimar Lohem Shabbos Zu. Once again, it's a description of the harvesting of the Omer on Shabbos, and an announcement is made, this is Shabbos. The Gemara answers, Delo Kerebi. It's a source, but it's not in conformity to Shitas Rebbe. Another question. This question lasts four lines. The Mishnah teaches Im Niktzar B'Yoyim Kosher V'Doiche Es HaShabbos. Man Shabbos Leidomar Niktzar B'Yom Kosher. Who do we know to have said if the Omer is harvested by day, it's okay? That's Rebbe. We saw that in the source of Omer Aleph, in the case where the Omer had become Tomei. And in the middle of offering it, so Rebbe said, if you can get a new one, if you go harvest a new one and it's available, go ahead and do it. So we see Rebbe holds that harvesting by day is kosher. V'katoni v'doche es haShabbos. And it says that the Omer is doche Shabbos my lav ketzira. Is it not a reference to the actual harvesting of the Omer that's doche, that supersedes Shabbos? So we see from here that Rebbe holds the ketzira Omer is doche Shabbos. The Gemara answers, lo. Rather, lahakrova. All that is doche Shabbos in the context, the Omer, is the burning of the handful that's offered on the Mizbeach. Question. This is a long question. You can see we have a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara with a vertical descending dashed line. Avol. Liktsiro loi, are you saying that as far as the harvesting, it's not Doche Shabbos v'hatanya, but we have the following Tanaic source. This source lasts a number of lines. You can see it's all in a frame. And then after the source, in the course of a few lines of Gemara, the question will be clarified. So the source says, v'hatanya, Rebbe Oimer, Vayedaber Moishez Moyadei Hashem, Ma Talmud Loimar. What do I need this pasuk for? Rashi explains all of the holidays are mentioned as well as Moshe and Aharon. So what do I need this pasuk saying that Moshe spoke over, said over the rules of holidays? That was already clear from beforehand. So, answer, what do I need the pasuk for? Lefi shelo lamadnu elo l'tamid u'pesach. We have learned only that the daily morning and afternoon sacrifice, the it's called Tomit Shel Shachar, Tomit Shel Levayim, and the Korban Pesach, we only learned about them, Shnemar, Bohen, B'moyadoi, B'moyado. And from this we learn, V'afilu B'Shabbos, B'moyado, V'afilu B'tuma. That the offering of the Korban Tomid and the Korban Pesach overrule Shabbos and overrule Tuma. That even if they become Tomei, or it turns, or it falls on a Shabbos, in the every week we have a Tomei Shel Shachar, Tomei Shel Levayim coming out on Shabbos, they are to be offered. They overrule or supersede Shabbos. Shaar Kumanos Tzibu Minayin. From where do I know other public sacrifices that have a date affixed to them? And if that date comes out on Shabbos, the public sacrifice is done. Talmud Loimar, Eile Ta'asu Lashem B'moyadeichem. Minayin L'rabois Oimer V'hakorevimo. The korevimo is a reference to the animal, the sheep that comes along with the Oimer. And the Shtei Alechem V'korevimohen. how do I know about those, that they are going to be doche Shabbos? Tamad lomar v'yadaber Moishes moyadei Hashem. This is the opening pasuk of the source, and this is its role. Hakosuv kova moyed lekulan. The pasuk establishes a date, a time for all of these things. Well, lemai, we want to know when this source mentions the posuk was kaveh choiva for all of these things, including the oimer and the shtel lechem. Well, with regard to what? If you are to think that it's a reference to the offering of them on the altar and in the fire, can't be. Shtei alechem b'nei akrova ninu. Shtei alechem were mentioned toward the end of this source. Those are the two loaves that are brought on Shavuos along with the kivsei atzeres. But the shtei alechem are not something that's offered at all in the fire. So what is the purpose of the source? What is its goal? Elab shita litchina v'harkoda. When referring to the shtei alechem as being having a fixed date and thereby enabling it to overrule or supersede Shabbos, it must be a reference to the grinding, the tchino, the grinding of the grains, and the harkoda, the sifting of them, in preparation of the meal offering, or of the shtei halechem. And it's worth noting, even though these things could have been done before Shabbos, Gabi Omer, and the parallel from the Shtei Alechem to the Omer would be Liktzira, the harvesting of it. Just like we're allowing the Tchina and the Harkoda of the Shtei Alechem to be Doche Shabbos, we'll allow the Ktzira of the Omer to be Doche Shabbos, V'kod Dochi Es HaShabbos. So we have a source that had Rebbe's name in it, we circled his name. And this source is teaching us, when it makes mention of the Omer and the Omer as being having a kavua time, which tells us it's Doche Shabbos, we're talking about Rebbe saying that the Ktziras Omer is Doche Shabbos. We've dashed underlined this so you can contrast this with what we dashed underlined above, where the Gemara had said Rebbe holds Ktziras Omer is not Doche Shabbos. The Gemara says, Loi. Omer lahakrova. When it mentions in this source that the Omer will be Doche Shabbos, it's a reference to the offering of the handful. And the offering of the Omer is not something that could have been done the day before. Ushtei alechem leafia. And what is Doche Shabbos regarding the Shtei Alechem? The baking of the Shtei Alechem. The Kosova Rebbe, Tanur Mekadesh. Rebbe is of the opinion that the oven in which they are baked sanctifies them. And therefore, E'ofi lo me'esmol, if you were to have baked the Shtei Alechem the day before, if si lo lo belino, since the Tanur imparts sanctity to them, by them being left overnight, the loaves would become pusel. Therefore, we're talking about aspects of Omer and Shtei Alechem that could not have been done the day before. But the Ktzira, which could have been done the day before, Rebbe will tell you, is not Doche Shabbos. Question. V'sova Rebbe Tanur Mekadesh, as part of the answer that we just gave, we said that the Shtei Halechem are able to be baked on Shabbos because the tanur, the oven, sanctifies them, and therefore you could not have baked them the day before, because leaving something overnight that has sanctity to it would cause it to become unfit. That, of course, we just said is a description of the Shtei Alechem themselves, not to be applied across the boards. The Gemara now is asking, does Rebbe really hold that the Tanur sanctifies? V'sava Rebbe Tanur Mekadesh V'atanya. We have the following source, Kivsei Atzeres Ein mekatshin es halechem elo b'shchita. We should point out before we go too much further that this question is a long question. You can see we have a long question mark to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. And we see in this source that the kivsei atzeres, the do not sanctify the bread elo b'shchita, unless you're talking about the slaughtering of the kivsei atzeres. The slaughtering of the kivsei atzeres sanctifies the shtei halechem, not the baking of them. That's as far as what we're going to say now. Things may change later. Ketzat. So we now want to know, how does the sanctity set upon the shtei halechem as a result of slaughtering the kivsei atzeres? Shachton l'shmon v'zarag daman l'shmon kidei shalechem. If you did everything properly with the proper mindset, the slaughtering and the sprinkling of the blood l'shmon, with them in mind, with the mitzvah of kivsei atzeres in mind, then the bread becomes sanctified. However, shachton shelo l'shmon v'zarag daman shelo l'shmon, if the slaughtering and the sprinkling of the blood took place without having the lishma mindset, lo kidei shalechem, the bread does not become sanctified. Shachton lishmon v'zorak domon shaloi lishmon, if the kivsei atzeres, the sheep brought on Shavuos were slaughtered with the proper mindset, v'zorak domon shaloi lishmon, but the sprinkling of the blood was done with an improper mindset, halechem kodosh ve'eno kodosh, divrei Rebbe. The breads do not achieve full sanctity. Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon omer li'olam eino kodosh ad shishchot lishmon v'zrok domon lishmon. According to Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, there is no sanctity whatsoever unless both stages are done lishma. At this point, though, we see that what is it that sanctifies the shtei halechem? The shchita of the kvasim, not the tanur. The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, this source that said shachdan lishman, etc., is not talking about the sanctification of the shtei halechem, but rather hukbu'u v'lo hukbu'u ko'omar. That means that if the sheep were done lishma, then the breads that are brought along with them cannot be transferred to anything else. Hukbu means they get locked in together. However, if the shchita, let us say, is done shelo lishma, then the breads are not locked into these animals and could be used for something else, or together with another offering. But as far as what is it that imparts sanctity to the loaves, that's the afia. So if we just take stock of what we have learned here, we finish this discussion with Rebbe, in fact, holding that Tziras HaOmer is not Doiche Shabbos. Most recently, where we saw a source indicating that Omer is Doiche Shabbos, we saw that there was a Moed, a fixed time assigned to the Omer, and this concept of having a fixed time associated indicates that they will be Doche Shabbos. What aspect of the Omer is Doche Shabbos? So at the end of the day, we're telling you, in the final picture, we're telling you it's not the Ktsira, but rather it's the Hakrova, the offering of the Omer, that's Doche Shabbos. We now start a new perek, the seventh perek, Elu Menachos Nikmatzos. The Mishnah. The Elu Menachos Nikmatzos Shurim LeKohanim. The following are the meal offerings that a handful is taken and the balance that remains is given to the Kohen. And there is a long list of meal offerings.
Minchas Hasoyves Vamachas Marcheshes Vachalos Varakikin, Minchas Ovde Kichovim, Minchas Noshim, Minchas Oimer, Minchas Chote, Uminchas Kinois. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minchas Chote Shokehanim, Nikmetes, Vekoimets Krov Liatzmo, Vishirayim Kravim Liatzmo. According to Rabbi Shimon, a meal sin offering brought by a Kohen, if a Kohen had reason to bring a Minchas Chote, a handful is taken off. However, the shirayim are not eaten, but the shirayim go into the fire just like the kometz goes into the fire. According to those that are cholik on Rabbi Shimon, when you're dealing with a minchas kohanim, there's no kemitza taken from it whatsoever. The whole thing is put into the fire. Omer Rav Papa, kol hecha disnan, Eser Tnan. Where you see these menachas taught, you should realize that there are 10 loaves with each mincha. My komash malon, what is Rav Papa telling us? Lafuke Merbi Shimon. Rav Papa's intent here is to the exclusion of Shitas Rabbi Shimon. The Omar, Rabbi Shimon holds that when you're dealing with what's called a minchas maife, the minchas maife, according to Rabbi Shimon, is mechza chalos u'mechza rikikin. It could be made of, you have actually three options according to Rabbi Shimon with regard to the minchas maife. It could be 10 chalos loaves, or 10 rikikin loaves, or 5 of each, 5 chalos and 5 rikikin. That's Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Komash Malon Doloi. Rav Papa is coming to tell us that according to this Mishnah, that is not a possibility. But rather, as the Mishnah mentions Chalos and Rikikin, it means 10 Chalos or 10 Rikikin, but not 5 and 5. Ushiorehen L'Kohanim. The shirayim of minochas from which a handful was removed, we say that the shirayim go to the kohanim. The balance, the remainder, goes to the kohanim. So the Gemara asks, Minolon, from where do you know that? To this, there is a response with wonderment. Minolon? You're asking, from where do you know that? The ksiva ksiva. Those meal offerings in which it's written explicitly that the shirayim go to the kohanim, so it's written out. For those meal offerings that are not specified as having their shirayim go to the kohanim, you have this pasuk that says, as a general rule, the rule concerning menachas, you offer them, and the balance is eaten by the Kohanim. So what are you asking in the first place? The Gemara opened up with a question, Minolon, from where do you know? Essentially everything that we think we're trying to find out, namely the what happens to the Shirayim, that the Shirayim are eaten by the Kohanim, that's already accounted for by Psukim. Before we go further, we have a topic heading for this Gemara, and we've written, Minolon the Shirayim l'Kohanim. That's the seeming opening part of this Gemara. From where do I know that the Shirayim go to the Kohanim? However, the Gemara said that question seems to be superfluous because there are clear psukim indicating that point. So you don't have to ask, from where do I know? You don't ask, from where do you know something that's written in a pasuk? Therefore, in our note, we go on to say, after presenting the question of from where do I know that Shirayim go to Kohanim, ubifrat, but in a more detailed or more focused fashion, the question is, minayin dishori minchas saorim. From where do I know that that which is left over in a barley meal offering, for example, the oimer and the minchas knos, that's the meal offering brought by a married woman suspected of immorality, aliba de Rabbi Shimon, we are going to ask according to Rabbi Shimon, ne'echolim l'kohanim, for where do I know that the shiorim minchasorim, ali Rabbi Shimon ne'echolim l'kohanim, that those are, the shiorim of those are eaten by the kohanim as well. So turning back to the Gemara, in the middle of the line that we left off, the first word line you'll notice is yochlu, in the middle of line, bo chitin lo ko mibayalon.
As far as menachos that come in wheat, as wheat flour, that in fact is no question. In other words, it's obvious to us that the shirayim are eaten, the shirayim of minchas chitim are eaten by the kohanim. Ki kome bayalon ba'osorim. The question concerning the shirayim concerns meal offerings that come from barley flour. Well, ba'osorim nami, that too, you don't have to really ask about it. Mi dinik metzes. From the fact that a handful is removed, and the handful is put on the altar, so shira lekohanim, it stands to reason that the balance that's there, that remains, goes to the kohanim. So the Gemara is essentially asking, why are you asking the question of how do I know about this where it seems to be obvious? So the Gemara says, "Aliva de rabbanan lo kami bayalon." According to shitas rabbanan, there is really no reason to ask the question. Namely, the fact that a kemitza was taken shows me that the shirayim go to the kohanim, because as far as the rabbanon are concerned, if you have any situation of a mincha that there's no kemitza done, so that's a situation where the whole thing is going to go into the fire, and therefore there is no shirayim to talk about. And if the kemitza is taken off, the shirayim obviously go to the kohanim. Ki komi bayalon aliba de Rabbi Shimon. Our question concerning the shirayim of minchas sorim is a question that we're raising in the context of Rabbi Shimon. The Omar, Rabbi Shimon, is on record as having said, Iko mincha de mikmitza velo misakla. There is precedent for a mincha who has a kometz removed from it, and yet it is not eaten. We saw that by the minchas chote of the kohanim. We saw this in the Mishnah, that a handful is taken off, and the balance is offered as well, separately. So according to Rabbi Shimon, there is room to ask the question concerning the shirayim of the minchas sa'orim, the omer and the knos, that even though a handful is removed, that doesn't necessarily mean that the shirayim are going to go to the kohanim. Disnan. Here the Gemara quotes Shitas Rabbi Shimon from our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minchas Chote Shel Kohanim Nikmetz. The Minchas Chote of Kohanim has a handful removed. HaKemetz Krav Ba'atzmo, VaShirayim Kraven Ba'atzmo. The shirayim are offered as well. Minolam. Therefore the question is, from where do I know that according to Rabbi Shimon, that the shirayim of a minchas oimer and a minchas knos, which are barley meal offerings, that the shirayim of those go to the kohanim. And you can't tell me that by the mere fact that a kemitz is removed, that automatically signifies that the balance go to the kohanim, because Rabbi Shimon himself has a precedent for saying kemitz are removed and the shirayim don't go to the kohanim. Amar Chizkia, the Amar Kro, the whole mincha blula b'shemen v'chareva, the whole b'nei Aaron tiyeh. That is a pasuk, and the Gemara points out that this pasuk is not necessary for wheat based korbanos. Im eino inyan leblula shel chitim. If this pasuk that even though it says v'chol mincha blula b'shemen v'chareva, and it says the menachos that are mixed with oil and the dry ones go to the Bnei Aaron, go to the Kehanim. So if I don't need it for an oil-based or oil-mixed flour oil wheat meal offering, and the reason I don't need this pasuk for the wheat mincha, because I have another pasuk for that. Therefore, Taneu Inyan Leblula Shel Sorim. So allow this pasuk to teach me concerning a barley oil mincha, that the balance goes to the kohanim. V'meinu Inyan L'chareva Shochitim. And if I don't need this pasuk for a dry wheat mincha, which I will know from another source, Taneu Inyan L'chareva Shel Sorim. And the chareva of Sorim is the minchas knos. Let's go over this point again. The blula of sorim, that is the omer, which is a barley based meal offering mixed with oil, and the Minchas Knos, the Sota, the suspected married woman suspected of immorality, she brings a dry barley-based Mincha offering called the Minchas Knos. So this pasuk teaches me that the shirayim of those korbanos, the Omer and the Knos, the shirayim of those korbanos go to the Kohanim. The Gemara will now embark on a long question, which we will not get into in the context of today's shiur, but it says, V'hai lohochi hu da'asa, is this pasuk b'chol mincha b'lulu b'shemen for the purpose of teaching me concerning the balance, the shirayim going to the Kohanim? He said, "Hami boiled elich l'sanya." I need this pasuk v'chol mincha b'lulu b'shemen for that which follows in the following brisa, l'chlesanya. And there's a brisa that continues on to Daf Ayin Gimel, which Emir Tzashem we will cover in our next shiur. So we are leaving you off with the question, meaning this pasuk, which you feel is the source for the for Rabbi Shimon's shirayim of Minchas Seorim going to the Kohanim, this pasuk seems to be used up for something else. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.